You're listening to Broncos for Breakfast with Nick Kendall and Scott Kennedy.
Welcome in, welcome in. It is 7:39 a.m. Mountain Time, 11:06. Time for an episode of Broncos for Breakfast. I am Nick Kendall and joined by, as always, on these Monday and Wednesday morning shows, Scott Kennedy. Scott, I'm ready for another hour of talking ball. We just got done talking Falcons, and a week from now, we might as well just have a two-hour marathon.
I was going to say, what do we do next week? Do we just combine the shows or what?
I don't know. I don't know if the chat could handle that. Where are they going to find us? Can even StreamYard handle that many streams at once? I don't know. Would it crash?
We get a lot of crossover. It's nice. A lot of the a lot of folks come in on the to watch us in the mornings on the Falcons, a lot of Broncos fans, and then a lot of the Falcons fans have started coming in after the fact over here as well. But got some business to take care of before we get to next week. There's a game coming up this week, Nick.
Yeah, a big game. Obviously, probably the biggest game of the Broncos season so far, after an absolute drubbing of the maybe the best team in football in the Baltimore Ravens. I know they lost to the Raiders and they lost to the Browns, but like that their peak offensive output is historic. I mean, I know some of the numbers have been like up there with the, what is it, the 2018 Chiefs, the 2013 Broncos, the 2007 Patriots. I believe those are some of the top offenses in football over the last 20 years in terms of their just overall efficiency and explosiveness. And the Ravens are up there in a lot of those metrics. So Denver got it taken to them this last week. Fortunately, they have, fortunately or not, they have a chance to change the narrative this week. Obviously, the Chiefs are, what are they right now? 8-0. So far this season,
have they had a bye? I know the O part. I'm not sure if they're 8-0 or 9-0.
I'm pretty sure they had a bye week, but they're undefeated. They are crazy, Scott. I believe they are 6-0 in one score games so far this season. So while the Chiefs have been really good in winning those close games, they're playing very close to the margins right now. So they're not dominating teams, but they're a tough, well-coached team that's winning in the margins, good special teams. A lot of those clutch plays, of course, but not overly dominating. So Denver's got a chance in this upcoming week. And before I even get to that, you know, just, I guess, flexing my, you know, liberal arts degree here with the, I took a philosophy course, obviously. Oh, they're 6-0 in one score games. That means the next one they're going to lose. It's a recast of the die every time. That's called gambler's fallacy. For those of you out there, it's the odd set reset every time is 50-50, but they're not going to probably finish the season undefeated in one score game. So keep it close. I think Denver's going to keep it close. They're going to have a chance.
I don't expect them to finish undefeated, period. I'm surprised they're undefeated to this point, but you know, the conversation going in was like, okay, the Baltimore Ravens scare me more than the Kansas City Chiefs. I get that. I absolutely do, because the Baltimore Ravens, while they've dropped a couple games, when they're on, they're scary. They've got more weapons. Their defense is just Baltimore Ravens and defense or go together, you know, like peanut butter and jelly, macaroni and cheese. And the Kansas City Chiefs, it's like, oh, we'll be in a game against Kansas City Chiefs. You know who else has been in the game against the Kansas City Chiefs this year? Everybody. Everybody has been in the game against the Kansas City Chiefs this year. Nobody's beaten them. That has to catch up with them at some point, you'd think. Does it happen when they're 16-0 and in the playoffs? Or 17-0? This stupid schedule. 17-0 in the playoffs and they lose their first one-score game because they're letting everybody hang around? Or is, you know, do you worry that, are they capable of putting the pedal to the floor? Because right now, I feel like they're just kind of in cruise control until they get to the playoffs. Last year, they were 11-6. This team is vulnerable. And then it's like, you know what? We're a Super Bowl team. We'll turn it up when it matters. And right now, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I feel about the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. Can you do that? Can you catch them off? You know, the Broncos played them tough last year for sure.
Yeah.
And overall, this is a better team that the Broncos are bringing to Kansas City.
Yeah, I also think it's going to be a very, obviously they're going to be motivated no matter what, but I really am believing in the culture, the toughness, the buy-in, the maturity of this Broncos team, just from a, not from a like playing ability perspective, so to speak, in terms of maturity, but the focus. I think a lot of teams, especially in the Broncos past, you get embarrassed. I mean, we'll call it what it is, embarrassed like they did against the Ravens. And that might send them spiraling, so to speak. I think this team has some toughness to them. They're going to kind of circle the wagons, get it figured out. And that doesn't mean I'm guaranteeing victory this week. It's what did you say last night? I couldn't see it when you're flashing it on the
it was an 8-point game. And I'm 8-point
spread.
Yeah. Well, what do we just get saying? What do we just get done saying about how the Chiefs have played this year? Would you say 6 out of 8 one score games? And all of a sudden the Broncos are going to be a 2-score game. And yes, I still consider 8 two scores when we're talking spreads.
Yeah.
And the Broncos are going to be a 2-score game. That doesn't make any sense. So, you know, I would probably take the Broncos and the points if I had to on this. But KB says, you know who else won a ton of close games? The 2015 Broncos. You need an elite defense to pull that off. Now, Nick, you like to say, and it's not I'm disagreeing with you, that, you know, defense can be volatile year to year, but within a season, it's pretty consistent. If you're good, you're good.
And barring injury, of course.
Yeah. Naturally. That's the disclaimer we're going to roll at the bottom. All of this we say means if there's no injuries.
Yeah.
But yes, the Denver Broncos defense, for the most part, will keep you in games. We'll keep you in games. Now, this was an aberration. Aberrations happen. Are you that much better than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Probably not.
No.
Are you that much better, worse than the Baltimore Ravens? No. You play them 10 times, you're not going to lose by 30 points 10 times in a row. It happens. That's the NFL, man. You caught them on a heater. You caught Tampa Bay by surprise. And you were on the good end and the bad end of two lopsided games, which don't happen very often in the NFL.
What is it? It's the wheel of parity in the NFL. It's going to happen eventually if we haven't gotten there yet. But you have the Panthers who beat the Raiders, who beat the Ravens, who beat the Broncos, who beat the Bucks, it goes on and on and on. So you'll be able to get there eventually. The transitive property's not a thing. I know that some people in Broncos country will look at how Denver played against Tampa and how Tampa played against Kansas City. That means Denver should beat Kansas City. Does not work that way. Matchups are different teams.
Not in the NFL for sure.
No. Different teams, right? It's just you kind of evolve, and the transit matchups matter so much. Transitive property is not a thing in the NFL. Maybe in like a 1 week to the next, there may be a little bit of momentum, but at this point, I mean, it's totally different Buccaneers team, Broncos team. Well, they didn't even have Mike Evans. Well, gameplay is totally different, right? It's as we just talked about how the Broncos game, if they don't turn that ball over early on, if Bo Nix hits Troy Franklin, it's games are crazy. Like, I mean, you can even go back. I always come back to Super Bowl 15. Denver got a field goal early, and I think it was the very next possession. They get a strip sack for a touchdown. 10-0. You're over Carolina, which was the number one offense in football that season. With a top defense, you're parking the damn bus. You're parking the damn bus. And that's, I mean, it's just crazy how things in a single game, things can get wonky like that and how they play out. So, obviously, that's reality. You got to deal with reality, not simulations or whatever, but we'll see how this upcoming game comes out. I feel okay about it. Again, I'm not saying Denver's going to win. I'll probably pick Kansas City to win, but they're not going to, I would be shocked if they get blown out like they did against Baltimore. I can't
blown anybody else out. Why should the Broncos be any different?
Yeah.
That's just the way they've been playing is let's keep it close. Let's go through the motions and then we'll just win at the end.
Yeah. They do have a really, the thing about Kansas City is they're probably the most balanced good team in all of football. I think a lot of teams have some weaknesses or strengths here or there, but Detroit is as well right now. Their DVOA is also really high, but Kansas City is 9th overall in offensive DVOA and 4th in defensive DVOA. Their EPA stuff is also really good, so will be interesting to see. My God, Scott, Detroit is unbelievable. Number three in offensive EPA. Number three in defensive EPA, number one in special teams. Shout out to the Lions, man. Wow, what a year. But shout out also, Michael Ronquillo coming in and says, good morning, Nick and Scott on Broncos for Breakfast. Go Bo Broncos. Go Michael. Appreciate you so much coming in and supporting the show. Hope you're doing well. And really do appreciate you coming in and supporting us as much as you do. It does mean a heck of a lot and keep the lights on here and keeps me updated with this week. Cat medication. So appreciate that. God bless.
Boy, if it's not one thing, it's the next.
Guys, our pets are falling off. Sorry.
Our pets' heads are falling off. Jelly comes in. Should we bring back Alberto? Why? To replace Dulcich? I mean, Alberto was basically released. He's traded for a song and then didn't play in the last year and a half in Philly and was released. He hasn't done anything. He hasn't done anything. So, again, we get asked these type of questions a lot, and I'd say, sure, I'd bring in so-and-so for a workout. What's it cost? It doesn't cost anything. I've got an entire staff of people to try out players and see if they want to come in, but I don't see any reason that you'd bring in Albert Okwuegbunam. I mean, he was let go. He wasn't all that productive as a Bronco, and he hasn't done squat since he's been gone. You know, it kind of goes into the
Want to win money on sports? With Underdog, you can win up to 1,000 times your cash just by picking higher or lower on your favorite player stats. Millions of fans have won billions of dollars on Underdog. Will you be next? Download the Underdog app and sign up to get a free pick with your first cash entry up to $1,000 in bonus cash when you deposit. Must be 18 plus, 19 plus in Alabama, Nebraska, 19 plus in Colorado for some games, 21 plus in Massachusetts and Arizona, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Void in Colorado. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP, 1-800-639-8783, or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language? Maybe you were inspired by a recent international trip, became obsessed with a foreign film or TV show, wanted to communicate better with a loved one, or just felt like developing a new skill. With Rosetta Stone, learning a new language is easier than you thought. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Japanese, Dutch, and more. Learning is immersive and designed for long-term retention, so you fully learn to speak, listen, and even think in that language. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Is a little running back that rushed for back-to-back 1,000 that turns up folk hero of the Denver Broncos.
Philip Lindsay,
when he was let go, went on and did zero after he left. I mean, the Broncos were kind of validated in that decision that he couldn't get it done at this level anymore.
Yeah.
And but there was still always, you know, the questions. Hey, we should bring him back, bring him back, bring him back. Well, like, why?
Yeah.
You know, you had him. You had that guy. So, Jelly, I say no. I don't see any reason to bring back Albert Okwuegbunam. Not on the 53.
I mean, practice squad elevation competing with Dulcich and Kroll. Sure, right? I mean, the reason that you even think about that is because your tight end room is the worst in the NFL, right? But is you don't bring him in and say, okay, now we fix the room. The Eagles outright waived him, right? Like, can't even make their roster. So he's not going to come in and be some savior. You're just hoping to maybe find a guy who can maybe do anything for you in the practice squad elevation realm. But the issue with Albert Okwuegbunam in that area too is that he's a dreadful special teams player, right? And if you're playing playing tight end and you're one of the borderline rosterable guys and you can't make it a special teams, you don't have value.
Why is that, Nick? Why is he a bad special teams player?
I don't want to use the S word.
But the S word fits here. And when we started talking about, and for those of you don't know, it's soft. And if you're new to the show or don't remember everything as crazy as we do, watching him play the game, I said, Nick, he was a wide receiver in high school, wasn't he? He wasn't a tight end. He was a jumbo wide receiver because he doesn't play in the trenches. Anyway, enough about Albert Okwuegbunam. No on that one. Ron Hall, thank you for the stars coming in. Good to see you. He says, seems like you got to play the refs lately too when you're playing Kansas City. There's got to be some backlash on this. It's become such a popular thing. Some of the reels and stuff I see on Instagram, people being very creative with this. It's hilariously sad. I laugh at them and then you go, yeah, but why is this a thing? Because it feels like it's true. And then you're watching it. You know, when you expect to see something, then you're more likely to see it. So this holding call, oh, that was BS. You know, you're scrutinizing every single call now. But yes, that's it's definitely a thing. That's for sure. Appreciate you, Ron.
Yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. Appreciate you, Ron. I got Brandon Williams says, do you think PS2 will travel with D-Hop this week? I got to be honest, Scott, with where my world has been this last week. My wife has shingles and baby, then you can transfer chicken pox over to unvaccinated babies with that and daycare and whatnot. I mean, that's public health disaster. So I've been handling the baby who's getting over croup as well. And we've had a cat that's been out of the emergency. It's been a week. But as far as that goes, I didn't see the utilization of DeAndre Hopkins in the Chiefs offense. So I would imagine
their number one right away and he was good.
Yeah. But I'm more so talking like where on the field he was being played, because I don't think you're messing with the integrity of the defense and the run fits by moving PS2 to the slot very often. So if it was like Cooper Kupp, oh, we just need to have Cooper Kupp or Surtain follow Cooper Kupp all week. I don't know if you do that. I think you try to jam the middle of the field a little bit more and make the two-way goes a little harder rather than just having PS2 move to the inside, where Hopkins, he's more of a classic X. So just based on what he's been in his career. And you have Kelsey as well, who's essentially a big slot, what they utilize that way. So I can't imagine that you wouldn't have PS2 following D-Hop, because I'm imagining D-Hop's going to be more of the press breaker X receiver. You know, the guy who's playing has to go off of the jam on the side. That helps release Worthy as well, because who can't beat press to save his life right now. But so I think that is possible, but that's all of that with a caveat of if teams are really good and you have a versatile wide receiver, you are doing what you can to get them in the slot, because I don't think Denver is going to shadow wide receivers to the extent that they change the integrity of their defensive backfield to move Surtain to the slot and Jaquan McMillan outside, where I don't think that's a good matchup for anybody.
And that was the question I had for you on Monday about Zay Flowers. You know, how is Zay Flowers getting this open this constantly without Surtain being anywhere near him? And it was, you know, the way you talk about the usage. So, Brandon, I think I want to keep an eye on him. You need big and physical around D-Hop, not necessarily quick twitch. So I don't necessarily want McMillan on him as much. But Riley Moss, good size. Surtain, good size. D-Hop, strong. And he looked good. And yes, I did like his Remember the Titans as a tribute to his former team celebration. I thought it was pretty cool. Lawrence coming in. Good to see you. Lawrence said, man, oh man, was last night something. Go Colorado Eagles. It was military appreciation night. It was awesome. Well, good. And thank you for going. And I'm glad they took care of you while you were there. And we appreciate you taking care of us on a Wednesday morning.
Yeah. Thank you so much for supporting the show. I mean, seriously, guys, I know times are tough and hard and it's kind of all over the place, but coming in and contributing to the show when, you know, this is your hard earned dollars and time. I mean, we really do appreciate it. And if you guys aren't like, you know, Michael Ronquillo or Lawrence Rivera, that's okay. I mean, not everybody, I know I don't have the means to be contributing to super chats right now. So when you guys do, it means the world to us. But if you can't do that, I mean, just click a thumbs up on the way. And if you think we've deserved it, earned it, it really does. It really helps so much. And I just can't express my gratitude for that enough.
Let's get to we haven't really gotten to talk about it. I think it was a Monday deal on the Tuesday deadline, but any surprises for you now that it is the day after the NFL trade deadline? I know you got to talk about it last night a little bit, but you know, you called the pick, and as far as, you know, who might go, and you said you'd take you said maybe a fifth for Browning. I said, I'd take a fifth for Browning in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And it turns out that the Denver Broncos were willing to take a sixth for Baron Browning, which happened since the last time you and I got to talk.
Yeah, I was really hoping for a fifth overall there. I mean, six, it's obviously with especially how many comp picks are backed in in the fourth, fifth, sixth round. A sixth round pick is not, you know, 32 picks later. It's 50 picks later. But it's still good to, I think, create some opportunity for the roster where you're at and get some compensation for the team to give yourself roster building flexibility this offseason. Now, we talk about it. Anything that's not a top 100, top 120 pick is essentially a lottery pick, right? You're like talking more likely your, just for example, for the Broncos, your Luke Wattenbergs, your DeLaron Turner-Yells. I think those were even fifth round picks, Scott, not sixth round picks. So not
who great. Else was in the news this week?
I don't know.
For the Broncos.
Oh, a seventh round pick, Jonathan Cooper. Of course.
There you go. Yeah. They could also be that guy. Again, more dart throws, more dart throws. Good. That's why I hate trading up, man. I know Nick does too. And I'll never forget someone commenting, and Nick's, y'all have heard this before, someone commenting, you draft guys always want more picks because you think you're always going to hit. I'm like, no, you moron. We want more picks because we know we're going to miss. And more shots is good. So the you can talk about playing the comp game. This guy's got 8 games left on his contract. You already made your decision. You weren't going to be able to keep Benito, Cooper, and Browning. The guy that is out is the guy who played him play or didn't play his way out of Denver. And that's fair. It's like, well, what about playing the comp game? We could have done better than a 6th round in the comp game. No way, man. You've got $62 million right now in cap space next year. Right now. And Scott, it's going to be more. You're going to have more than that by the time you get done with any moves you have to make. It'll probably be more in lines of $80 million.
Yeah.
You will sign as long as you have.
I want to add to the point about the salary cap, because a lot of times when we talk about it, it doesn't capture the full scope of how teams are set up to be buyers in the offseason. Because when contracts come, the beginning of the contracts are always tiny on the cap hit. So it's not just that Denver has a lot of cap space this offseason. They're paying nothing 2026, 2027, 2028. They're one of the, I think, consistently perennially one of the top 5 teams in cap space after this offseason. So what does that mean? That's down the line. No, the contracts you signed to guys this offseason are going to be more bloated down the line. So Denver's going to be able to be very aggressive if they want this offseason. It's the cheat code, the rookie quarterback contract, the coming off all the dead cap hit stuff. But to your point, I'm just emphasizing again, Scott, like they are going to be able to pretty much do whatever they want on the free agency market, paying money. And that means that the comp pick game is not happening. Denver's not in a position roster building wise to play the comp pick games. The teams that play the comp pick games are the Ravens, the 49ers, the Chiefs. These teams that are so talented that they're prioritizing spending their money, retaining their own guys while letting good players walk off their roster. Denver isn't there right now.
Because you, when you get to the point in your roster when you say we can't keep everybody, that's when you can get comp picks. When this guy leaves because we really wanted to keep Baron Browning, but we couldn't. And we are retaining our own guys and we're already at the salary cap. Basically, for every free agent I sign, it for the most part, it's a little more complicated than this, but just think of it this way. For every free agent I sign, it cancels out any free agent I lose. Well, you're talking $80 million in a Sean Payton general manager team with the Walton Penners. You're going to be in, you're going to be active. If you're active in free agency, you do not get comp picks is basically how it boils down to. Chase, you made me grin on this just a minute. He says, sorry, this is a little off topic, but I thought Scott would get a kick out of it. I saw a comment online yesterday. Little Jordan Humphrey is a bum. We need to trade him. Yeah. Those are always my favorites.
Listen, that's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
Baron Browning's hurt. He's overpaid. He stinks when he's on the field. Trade him. Man, good sales job on that. Who wants that guy? Now, little Jordan Humphrey, I think one of the things that's interesting is when we start talking about want to give the younger guys a chance, want to do this, want to do that, want to make sure, give this guy a chance. Little Jordan Humphrey is actually younger than Devon Bailey, which is kind of strange. Devon Bailey turns 27 next month. So if you're going to talk about young players and include Devon Bailey, you got to include little Jordan Humphrey too, right?
I mean, no, I think you don't include Bailey in that.
yeah, I don't include Bailey in young players. He's not a young ascending talent. He's a grown man. If you don't like him now, you're probably not going to like him in 3 years.
You still could argue that he's an ascending talent. But just because
I like him. He's got to learn the game and stuff, but he's 27 years old. He is a grown man. So he's not one of these young up-and-coming players. He's a player that can help your team for sure, but what's going on with the hair here today? Time for a haircut.
Oh, I got the wrong hat on. Thank you, Lion Coffee. But Broncos for breakfast. Got to switch the top there.
Yeah, I see that in soccer. In soccer, it's kind of cool. You don't trade players. You buy out contracts. And so you actually sell off the rights to a contract. Like, let's say I've got Nick under contract for 3 years and I'm paying him $5 million a year. and I don't want him anymore. Someone has to buy out that contract and then give Nick a new contract. So it's like, I'll give you $50 million for you to terminate this contract. And then he's going to come to me. And now I've got $50 million to go do that with someone else. So it's all cash based, which is kind of cool. And I see that all the time. It's like, this guy stinks. He's always hurt. He's on the field, blah, blah, blah. He's overpaid. Sell him. Who wants that guy? Who wants that guy? But little Jordan Humphrey, you had him for you. He was available for everybody in September. Everybody. Why? Because the Broncos cut him and put him on the practice squad. He was available for anybody to sign for any amount of money, and they didn't. You're not going to get anything for little Jordan Humphrey in a trade.
Yeah. No, absolutely not. And the reason, I mean, it's really frustrating for little Jordan Humphrey, obviously, but this is just kind of a effect of where you are team building wise right now, injury wise as well. And it's as much a wide receiver deficit in talent as it is tight end. I mean, Scott, let's be real about it. He's playing a flex tight end role, a big slot. This is kind of what you had hoped Greg Dulcich would be out there, right? Like detached from the line of scrimmage, playing up the slot, offering a little bit in the blocking game for the run game. And Dulcich isn't giving you diddly. So now you have little Jordan Humphrey out there. So again, I think it's just kind of, this is where you're at for this season. But yeah, that's a something we're looking for here going forward. Maybe it's somebody, like, I don't think they really trust Vele to be that guy right now. He's a different profile, right? A little bit more of a link. He's more of your like Sutton insurance as an X receiver than he is your big slot. So we'll see. There's going to be a lot of areas this team is going to have a chance to improve on this offseason, obviously. And wide receiver is first and foremost on Broncos country's mind. I do think that I'm going to be annoying, I'm sure, for Broncos country, because everybody kind of gets focused on the 2024 Broncos and this iteration of the team. How do we make this exact version better right now, when I try to view it as a 3-year sample?
We play general manager instead of coach. We both do.
Yeah. So I'm going to be saying, you know, defensive line is an option as well. Still, you know, offensive line, Garrett Bowles is the big domino right now. I mean, that changes the complete direction of the offseason, what happens with Garrett Bowles there. But yeah, wide receiver, luckily for Denver, that's going to be an area they improve. Like, is it going to be the first round pick? I don't know. But they're going to add to that room without a doubt. And according to Sean Payton, you know, coming in Monday's press conference saying Superman's not walking through the door. There's not a lot of Superman wide receivers out there. What do you think? Maybe 10 true number one guys.
But here's the thing. You're not going to be playing in the practice squad who just got cut from that team bowl anymore. That's not where you're shopping. You're going to be shopping in the $10 million range, which you can fill. You know, we talked about it before. There's like four players with cap hits over $10 million or seven. Yeah. It was something crazy. Like, yeah, $80 million makes a difference that you could add to this team. And that you're $80 million dead now versus $80 million in the green next year, you're going to get a chance to add quality professionals and not just overachieving cast-offs. And I trust Sean Payton to take those quality players and mold them into something that can do better than just be overachieving cast-offs right now. Arlie comes in. He says, great job. As always, gentlemen, agreed with the moves before the deadline, which, as we talked about, those big moves were moving Baron Browning and re-signing Jonathan Cooper. We talked about earlier this year about Cooper has turned into not just he's a nice number three to have. Oh, he's overplayed his seventh round pick spot. This is where he is. No, he's a starting plus starting edge in this league, and now he's getting paid like it. And he has done a great job as far as his development through the last few years. He's been rewarded for it. And frankly, Broncos fans, so have you. You've been rewarded for it. I love watching him play. He plays so hard. And I think he's deserved it's right about 2 years, $15 million right now, and then two club year options based on the guaranteed money. The realistic chances of beating Kansas City this week, they've won some games they should have lost, would love a win against them. I think the chances are realistic because, as we have said, the Kansas City Chiefs play everybody close. They will let you hang around, and then they just kind of win. What do they do? I kind of say they play a little bored. You know, I watched this. This hit me when I was in my formative years really watching college basketball, honestly. See this team that won a championship, which is Arkansas Razorbacks. They won the championship, and then they kind of just kind of dicked around in the regular season next time, and then they go and then they turn it on. So I've always thought about that when watching these dynasty-type teams. The Chicago Bulls, unless they had something to prove and go and win 72 games, they are gearing up. These are playoff teams. They're going to let you hang around. They're going to drop some games. The Chiefs were Super Bowl champions and went 11-6 last year. But they were still the team to beat as far as I'm concerned. Regular season Chiefs don't scare me the way a playoff Chiefs would. So they're going to let you hang around. They've let everybody else hang around, and they've gotten away with it. Can that still happen? How long before it comes up where they end up losing? They're not going to go undefeated. I don't think that's a hot take, Nick. They're not going to go 17-0.
No.
One of these teams that they let hang around is going to come up and bite them because someone drops a ball, and instead of going to overtime, the other team kicks a game-winning field goal. So, yes, Arlie, thank you for the stars. I think the Broncos have a realistic chance to beat the Chiefs because everybody has had a realistic chance to beat the Chiefs. They just haven't yet.
Yeah, I mean, even before this Ravens beatdown, Denver was right there in point differential with Kansas City, despite having three more losses. This is prior to last week's game. But Denver, I think it's going to be a tough game. I think the Chiefs are going to beat Denver in the end. I'll pick them. We'll have a just score prediction here in the next 10, 15 minutes. But I think Denver is going to end up losing, but it'll be close. I think they're going to cover in this one. Lawrence comes in and says, much love, guys. Thank you, guys, because you keep me level-headed on the roughest days. Well, I mean, sports is a distraction from reality, but sometimes the distractions are needed, and it's kind of fun to be upset and dig into things that are superfluous to some extent in the big picture. But it's nice to, have that getaway.
Yeah, and I kind of think I won't butcher the Heath Ledger Joker impression. Your little group therapy sessions in broad daylight. That's kind of what we are here. I feel better after talking to y'all every time we do this. Sometimes I'm like, I don't want to be up. I just want to sit here and be brood and moody and meh. And then we get going, and y'all make me feel better. So thank you so much, Lawrence, for your support and being part of our show and community. And the Boogmeister, he's echoing it. He feels the same way. He says, good morning, big dogs. Thanks for giving us a place to get away from all this political stuff for a bit. Nick and I talk about a lot of stuff, off camera. You know what we don't talk about? This. We don't talk politics. We don't have to. I know his values. I like the dude. I consider him a really close friend. And we don't always have to agree on everything. We don't on here either. That's okay. That's okay. And we're happy to be here and glad to be talking football. As I like to say, it beats working for a living, get to drink coffee and get to get up and talk football with y'all. Happy to be here. And thank you for the support to all of y'all.
So Broncos down the stretch here, the games, I didn't want to talk about the last half of the schedule. Not a lot of time left, but units that need to stand out and whatnot, how it sets up here. The next, we have four games before the bye week still. So Denver I don't know if it's fortunate to have a bye week so late in the season. It'd be nice if it was like week 12, week 11 versus week 14, but at Kansas City, Falcons, at Raiders, Cleveland, I think there's a very good chance you can go 2-2 in that stretch, maybe even 3-1. Mm-hmm. You will be obviously dogs to the Chiefs. It depends on how you do against Kansas City this upcoming week, but I wouldn't be shocked at all if you were a 2-point dog to the Falcons in this upcoming the game there. Then you have the
absolutely winnable games.
Winnable game.
Yeah, the Falcons aren't coming in and scaring you to death. That's for sure.
No, especially with how their defense is. I'll be curious to see how their offense looks against Denver. Again, I wrote an article last week saying we're going to find out about Denver's defense because they've had a relative cupcake schedule up until then for the offenses outside of Tampa Bay. But that game we talked about earlier, situationally, it snowballed quickly. And it's like, well, it's not really an exact normal game circumstances.
Just like I think the 41 points that the Ravens put up was an anomaly. I don't think that happens every time. It's just one of those days, man.
Absolutely. But what Denver does have going for them is that although they've lost to the Ravens and the Steelers and the Chargers once already, not only are you sitting there at 5-4 with the 7 seed, but you play the teams who are going to be your main competition for playoff spots down the stretch. So you still have the Chargers. I think the Chargers will probably finish above Denver. They're just a more complete team, and Justin Herbert's playing top five quarterback level right now, and their defense is number one in the NFL right now. I mean, everybody's talked about the Broncos. Chargers are the number one defense in the NFL according to EPA per play. So that's a team that I think will finish above you, but you still have the Browns sitting there. We'll see what they look like at that point. Maybe come back down there. Jameis Winston's going to give you a chance. But then after the bye, I mean, tough slate of games. We'll see how that week 18 game goes against Kansas City. Maybe they're sitting guys because they're already undefeated, and Ravens, the next best team, are a little bit further behind. But you got the Colts, the Chargers, the Bengals, and the Chiefs. Tough schedule, but everything that you have in front of you is at your control at that point, right? Especially, I've said it before, I've said it since Sunday, that week 17 game at Cincinnati on, I don't even know what day that is, what day of the year, but that's around Christmas time. That might be a play-in game for the playoffs. So a big one. Yeah, that's a huge one, without a doubt. So Denver's going to have a chance, and those are going to be essentially tiebreaker play-in games. You've already lost your tie-in play-in playoff game to the Steelers / Ravens, somebody in the AFC North there. And it's going to be interesting with the Bengals and the Colts. I don't buy the Colts. Bengals offense is good.
Colts are reeling right now. The Colts are in a bit of turmoil right now. I covered the Colts for the last couple of years, and they're upset about benching Anthony Richardson, or they're upset about Anthony Richardson playing. There's injuries. They want their general manager fired. They're in a little bit of a tough spot. I chalked that one up as a W. I look at this in blocks, and I look at the next four games: Chiefs, Falcons, Raiders, Browns, and I think 2-2 at worse. At worse on that one. Maybe you go 3-1, but I'll go with the 2-2. And then I look at the four after that, and I chalk up the Colts as a W. And then I think you get at least one of the Chargers, Bengals, and Chiefs. And honestly, the one that seems most likely to me is the Chiefs at home, because I don't think they're playing for anything. I think they've already got the number one seed wrapped up in the NFC, in the AFC. They're resting starters. They're not playing. They're not trying to get anybody hurt unless they're undefeated, trying to go for an undefeated regular season, which you can take care of that this week. Yeah. That I don't think they're playing for anything. So I think uber realistic, cynical Scott is 4-4, puts you at 9-8. And then you're looking around and trying to see some help. And again, that Bengals game could be the decider. But I think that's, y'all know I'm not an optimist by any stretch of the imagination. And 4-4 feels really, really realistic from a cynic.
And for the Broncos, what units need to step up down the stretch? We need the defense to return to their baseline prior. I mean, heck, they don't even have a return to the baseline prior. But last week, Scott, they might have been the worst defense in the NFL as far as their output last week, because it wasn't just the Ravens putting on 41 points, but like Lamar sat the entire fourth quarter and they scored on like almost every single drive. So like the efficiency numbers are horrific in that game.
I don't need to like keep banging on the Ravens game. That was a bad day, and it happens again. We remember those, and then we remember that other teams have bad days. So it's like, oh no, Tampa Bay didn't have a bad day. We were just that much better than them. No, you're not. You're not three touchdowns better than Tampa Bay on 10 games. They had a day. You had a day. It happens. Mm-hmm. So I'm done with, the Ravens.
But my point more so is I don't expect it to be that bad, but I also don't expect Denver to finish number one elite defense in the NFL this season. They're going to probably finish somewhere in the top seven when it's all said and done. I haven't seen what the new DVOA is for Denver. I don't know if that's come out just yet for this week, but Denver was fifth prior to last week. There's no way they are top of the league. Yeah, they were the worst defensive game in the NFL last week out of 30 teams that played. So again, the Ravens, they had their number and they've snowballed on them. It's fine. I don't think they're not the worst defense in the NFL, but I think they'll finish somewhere top seven. You need to kind of rectify and play that level down the stretch. And also, this is fantasy number, so it's not exactly one for one, but the Broncos have a tough second half schedule, specifically for their offense. Almost everything gets tougher. It's tougher matchups for the wide receivers. It's much tougher matchups for the running back. Denver's had the fourth easiest schedule to date for run games. The second half of the season, they finished with the 30th toughest schedule. The only area where you have a little bit of solace is Denver, the quarterback position. You go from 12th to 9th easiest schedule. So with how Bo Nix has looked a little bit better here, he needs to get a little bit better with some of his accuracy here. And they're missing some throws that, you know, I wouldn't say quite gimmies, but, you know, good NFL starting quarterbacks are hitting them more consistently. We need to keep seeing Bo Nix step forward. And it's an unfair ask, I really believe, to be like, okay, Bo Nix, time to play like a top 15 quarterback and salvage the seat, not salvage, but, you know, really make the season something for us and make the playoffs. That's an unfair ask, but that's kind of, I think, where you're at, because I don't think the run game is going to be great for you down the stretch here for the running backs. Your running backs look like they lack juice. Like, your offensive line is good. I just think the running backs are pretty poor. That's a 2024 problem. I don't think it's a long-term problem because you can find running backs. But really, it's going to come down to Bo Nix stepping up and being a top 15 to 20 quarterback consistently. Unfair, but that's just how I see it.
Yeah, and, you know, could have the Broncos done more to go get a playmaker around Bo Nix at the trade deadline? Maybe. You know, those, it's hard to make an impact move at the deadline unless you want to overpay. And if you're the Denver Broncos, do I look at this team and say, we think down the line, I'm thinking 2025. What's my window? Am I a real threat in the playoffs with this 2024 team? I don't think so. Then why would I want to give up any future picks for a player, for a rental, a cast off from some other team? I wouldn't. So I understand, unless it was somebody again. And you know, what about Njoku? Well, Njoku, the Browns couldn't afford to give him up. He had $30 million in dead cap. That's the part that everybody always forgets. I think the way they structured the contract, Nick, the way they backloaded it, he's got like a $1 million salary this year. That's how much the Broncos would have to pay him. Well, we can afford that. That's great. Yeah, but the Browns can't afford to take on $30 million in dead money. They can't do that. So that wasn't realistic. Mm-hmm. So who can you go? I said before, this isn't the draft. I don't get to just go choose guys. I'll take that guy. I don't just get to do that. They have to be available, and you have to be willing to meet the price that the other team is asking. And frankly, the player has to want to come too. There's three parties involved here.
Yeah. We'll see. See how it plays out. But down the stretch here, hoping the quarterback can step up, play better again. I don't think it's totally a fair ask, but that's just where you're at. You need the defense to be a little better, and you need your young guys to step up. Relative young guys. You're unknown, Scott. I don't want to say young guys per se, but specifically, Troy Franklin, you had opportunities out there, just have not connected. It's going to happen at some point. Crowd's going to go crazy. See, this is how it's going to be all going forward. We'll see. Do it again. That's prove it. Do it again. Hit that shot again. I want to see. I'll give you $1 million. You hit that shot again. It's kind of like a guy hits the hole in one. Oh man, I'm the best. Do it again.
One of my favorite lines from a silly movie, when Days of Thunder, you know, you got lucky coming out of turn three, and Tom Cruise says, "You think it's luck? Let's do it again."
Yeah.
Love it. Just the ultimate arrogant confidence. I love it. Wasn't lucky. That's what I do.
Let's see it again. Marvin Mims. I mean, is he going to be relegated to just gadget role? I mean, I loved Tony Romo in this last game. I don't know if you had the announcers on, Scott, but he was really getting in on Marvin Mims because his route running, he just like sat in an area and did not create leverage for a throw where Nix had to throw it into relative harm's way because he just didn't put himself in any position where he can create some separation on, I think it was against zone. So Mims,
I watched another game like that. And I don't remember if it was, I watched so many games they run together. It was another player. Yeah. I didn't think it was Mims though. It was coming across. And if it was a quarterback, it was Bo Nix rolling right and a drag route. And he just kind of kept drifting into coverage instead of like, if you're open in a zone, stop. It had to have been Olsen. Yeah. I don't think it was, I'm almost positive it wasn't, it was a Greg Olsen game. You know, don't keep drifting in there. Nick, we can still hear you if you want to go ahead and sign us out here.
I'm here. Maybe not. I don't know what's going on. I'll have to unplug my thing here. You can still hear me?
Yeah, we can still hear you. So if you want to sign us out, that's good.
Yeah. So the don't know what's going on. I guess my it's probably my jack here. I don't have enough ports on this computer. So the USB ports for all this stuff. So I have an extender on it. And maybe that's the issue. I don't know. Mic and everything. We're here. We're good. But yeah, we'll see how it plays out here for the Broncos. Big game. We do need a score prediction here from you, Scott, on this Chiefs game. I'm going to go with Kansas City 24, Denver 21. I think it's going to be a field goal at the end. I think Denver is going to have a chance and come up a little short with the ball at the end. So I'm going to go 24-21 Kansas City.
I'll go 24-17 Chiefs, which that where's that? Well, that's the over-under's 41.5. There you go. And that would mean that Denver in the points, and Kansas City just keeps finding ways to win.
Yeah, so it'll be a close game.
They play everybody close.
Yeah.
At Bills, who do they still have, too? I mean, you look at their schedule, at Bills, at Panthers, Raiders, Chargers, at Browns, Texans, at Steelers, at Broncos. They've got a decent finish, but they'll be favored in pretty much every game they play. Well, it's the Chiefs. They're favored in pretty much every game they play anyway.
Yeah, maybe not at Bills, but that's – heck, I mean, we didn't even talk about that. Maybe – I think Denver's played them tough enough that they won't overlook Denver, but that game against the Buffalo coming up here is that's a big one. So maybe Denver has a little effect with the overlook there. But Michael comes in and says, great show today. Nick and Scott and Broncos for breakfast. Go Bo Broncos. Go Michael. Go everybody coming in and supporting the show today who is with us this morning. Geron says, we always play the Chiefs tough. Don't be surprised if we beat the Chiefs. They're due for a loss. They absolutely are. We talked about that to start the show.
I won't be surprised at all. It's you don't play one score games every single week and win every single week. It's coming. They're not going undefeated.
Yeah, I don't see that either. But they're a damn good team all the same. So they're a reason they're probably still the betting odds for the Super Bowl. But Jason said he mentioned about the overlook with Buffalo. I don't think they'll do that because Denver's played them tough. But especially because the last time they played, Denver beat them. But we'll see. You never know. You never know. That's why you play the games. But appreciate everyone coming in, supporting the show. Brandon Williams, Ron Hall, Michael Ronquillo, of course, Lawrence Rivera, Chase Wellner, Arlie Tucker, of course, the Bookmeister. You guys are great. I always appreciate you coming. Make sure you're following Scott and I on Twitter. Scott's at Scout Kennedy. I'm at Nick Kendall, MHH. Also follow us at Mile High Huddle. If you haven't done so yet, we're over at Facebook.com. Also, Facebook.com/Mile High Huddle and Facebook.com/Mile High Huddle Pod. And subscribe, like, and share over on YouTube. If you guys haven't done so yet, click the thumbs up on the way out. We'd appreciate the heck out of that. Continue to try to choose compassion and kindness. And as always, go Broncos.
Head on over to milehighhuddle.com for all things Broncos. Good morning, Broncos country.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. And now, during our Veterans Day sale, save 40% on the Sleep Number Special Edition smart bed, plus free home delivery with any base. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.